You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. Today, we're going to discuss a very important topic in New Jersey, New Jersey lead-based paint, and specifically the new law that went into effect on July 22nd, 2022. It basically is titled the New Jersey Safe Lead Certification Law, and it's going to require every 2 years, owners, landlords of rental properties built prior to 1978 must have a lead inspection done by a certified person, and this must be done on a every 2 year basis. And if there is hazards found, they have to be remediated by a licensed contractor. We're going to get into the particulars of the inspections and what it entails, and you know the details. But first, I want to give you an overview on lead paint and the whole process to get started.
I'm so glad, Ken, you brought that up. Unfortunately, I don't think many people know this new rule. Being a real estate professional, we have to be always, get to know the laws very, you know, in advance and to learn it, to make sure advise our client accordingly and give them right advice. In the past, before this law, the basic action the agent will do, they would ask the owner, either the landlord or owner, whether they have any knowledge of lead paint, they have to do disclosure, whether they wear anything. If they know any new information, they must disclose to the buyer / tenants. So also, when you represent the buyer or you represent the tenant, you always give them a booklet, how to protect yourself against
the
lead.
Right, that's the EPA booklet.
EPA booklet. So, pretty much our role as a real estate agent just advise the owner / landlord, the seller / landlord to make sure to fill in the proper form. If they know anything, they must disclose. And then to the buyer and the tenant side, just our job is just make sure they're aware of that. The house was built before that date and give them the booklet and they sign for it.
Right. So the whole, up to this point, I mean, lead was always, since the late 60s, lead paint hazards when it deteriorates was recognized as a hazard in the country. But up until this new law in New Jersey, the only thing, as Jane said, that was done was you had to fill out a lead paint disclosure form that's required for any real estate transaction, whether it be a sale or a rental, and basically documenting what information, if any, the owner has. And then the buyer agent or the tenant agent is required to give the new occupant, the new owner, the new tenant, the EPA form, the lead, how to protect yourself from lead paint hazards. So it was all an information-based, data-driven, and the form had to be signed by the landlord's agent, the tenant's agent, so everybody was aware of their so it was documented that the necessary information was transcribed. Now that all has changed in New Jersey starting in July of 2022. The law was signed by Governor Murphy actually July 22nd, 2021. It was given a year to take effect. It took effect July 22nd, 2022. And again, we're going to get into it, but I want to first now talk about the history of lead. Lead goes back to the Romans. Lead has is a heavy metal. It's a naturally occurring element. There's a lot of beneficial uses for lead. The Romans used it in the pipes. It was used in cosmetics. It was used in wine. It was used in food to sweeten the food. So it has a lot of really beneficial effects. They use lead. The reason paint manufacturers use lead was because it has a lot of beneficial properties in the construction industry for paint. For namely, the paint can dries faster. It's more durable. And it is more corrosion resistant for water, you know. So the paint, so that's the whole reason it was used. Now it's been phased out with titanium dioxide. Unfortunately, when the paint deteriorates, the lead in the paint can cause detrimental effects if it's inhaled or ingested, which can be done if people, you know, put their fingers on the windowsills, or babies or infants are crawling on the floor, and there's dust. And then typically what do kids do when they crawl? They put their fingers in their mouth, and then they can ingest it. So that's why that's how it got, became hazardous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the in our Central Jersey area, even though there is a pent, you know, the many houses were built before 1978, but but they're not that old, so 1560s. So the damage, like, effect wasn't so obvious. I think the new law, even they sent into 2021, probably during the COVID, there's a lot of other things, you know, happening. So maybe the a lot of people still not quite aware of this new law. This is last 3 years, nothing is normal. So a lot of things probably not as promoted as it is, as is make the awareness as much as it should be. So that's why we want to do this session to bring to the people, you know, the owner or the tenant, the buyer and the seller, the awareness, especially tenant and the landlord.
Right.
This new law only, even though the new law only affect the investors, but I do have recently a few homes when the people purchase homes and the buyer did the lead paint inspection. So
right.
I did have
to cover, right. But as you said, Jane, correct, the new law only applies to rentals, single family, multifamily rentals built before 1978. It exempts hotels. It exempts seasonal rentals, which are rented no more than 6 months of the year. And it does not apply to purchase sale transactions. So right now, that's so if you buy or sell a home, you don't come under the jurisdiction of this regulation. So getting back to the hazards of lead. So in the late 60s, the U.S. began to realize that lead was very detrimental. It can cause it's been documented to cause kidney damage, nerve damage, neurological impairments, learning disabilities, attention deficit disorders. So it's a very serious problem. And basically, there's a lot of studies that a lot of kids in the country have elevated lead in their blood. And it creates a big learning problem. So that was part of the, and also children under the age of 6 and pregnant women are the highest at risk. Mm-hmm. Those are two. So that's why they had to do something further to implement this.
You know, Ken, I'm just wondered, yeah. The pediatrician, do they, when they do, I mean, remember when our daughter's young, I mean, they always have a check. Even now, she does an annual check as well. I'm not sure whether the pediatrician would do the lead, you know, in the blood test. I'm not quite sure.
I think that's a good question. I know I was just going to get to the point now. According to the New Jersey Department of Health, as of 2019, about 4,000 children in the state of New Jersey alone had elevated lead blood levels. I mean, I guess everybody has a certain degree of, you know, yeah. of lead in their blood, but they were elevated above whatever the criteria was. And unfortunately, it affects the urban areas, namely East Orange, Trenton, Atlantic City, Irvington, West Orange. Those are one of the five areas that have, you know, historically high lead levels in the children, because fortunately, a lot of the urban areas have the older homes.
Yes.
The paint condition is deteriorated, so you get a lot of the lead chipping on the dust, yeah. on the windowsills, and when the windows are up and down, the abrasion creates the paint problems that gets on the floors, and you know the kids are, you know, touching the windows, touching the floors, and then, you know, not washing the hands, so it gets ingested.
Yes, so that's become a big problem. I mean, back to my own experience the past 14 years, and very rare we heard this happening in our area. And probably because, as I said, a home is newer, and also, you know, some towns, most of the towns have the inspection requirement. And I think that each condo and multifamily, they have 5-year state mandatory, you know, inspection as well. So I think because through this tight management, so a lot of things has been managed well. So wasn't so obvious. So based on my experience, I have not had any, you know, negative effect on that. But once again, we always advise them, always give them book, like make sure they read it, make sure they understand if it's a house was built earlier than 1978. Yeah.
Right. And also, before we have to give a positive feedback for lead. Lead is still used today, but mostly in batteries. It's used in car batteries. It's used in lead batteries are used in hospitals, cell towers, railroad crossings. So there is, so about 90% of the lead, it's manufactured in plants, but it's manufactured under controlled protective situations. So the factory workers are not exposed to the hazards of the product.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, I mean, when, you know, now we know that the science has become so advanced. We learn so much things. It's very different from how we grown up, right? When we were a kid, we have a toy. We just like really, you know, that I'm sure at that time, at our age anyway, the paint must have a lot of lead in it.
Right. So, we joke about that too. And back in the 70s, you know, until in the 60s and 70s, I mean, oil was basically typically, it wasn't regulated. People would throw it in the, you know, until the EPA and the state agency came about, you could dump oil in the ground. You know, we had the lead paint until it was banned in 78. Lead was used in gasoline until it was phased out in the 90s. So lead had a lot. So you were constantly bombarded with lead, but, you know, it's just with the changing times, people become more educated and aware of the harmful effects. And so it's gradually gotten phased out now.
I think at that time, even the people get sick, right? They may not know caused by these. Right. I mean, they just know, for example, like you mentioned, the learning disabilities, and they probably just think the kid just not, you know, bright enough. But it's not true. It's because the sickness, you know, they may have other medical conditions affect their learning ability. But now it's like, you know, people will know more about it. In today's, you know, they must do more testing, and we know more about, you know, the probability of each item. So that's why we know what's harmful. So the government doing good job to make sure to educate the public and let everyone aware and find a solution to avoid it.
Right, and this is a proactive step by the government. It's now they're going beyond just giving out information and warnings and making, you know, everybody sign that they're aware of it. Now they're saying, no, we want more. We want you actually. We want to inspect it and make sure that those rental units, the paint is intact. And if it's not intact, then it has to be properly remediated, which we're going to get into. All right, why don't we take a short break, and we'll be right back.
A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime Real Estate, a standalone building with superior construction quality, a backup generator, and beautiful architectural design, is available for sale or for lease. Located in a highly visible location directly off Route 33 in Hamilton Township, this location is zoned highway commercial, suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and so much more. To find out more, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's 908-337-9448. Impressive second-level office suite in excellent condition is available for lease. Approximately 2,400 square feet consists of private offices, conference rooms and kitchen, and private restrooms. Perfect for attorneys, accountants, or any office professional use. Situated in prime location on Route 130 in the Lake Farrington Plaza Business Park, in close proximity to major highways including Route 1, the New Jersey Turnpike, and Route 287. For more information, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. So we're going to continue just talking about the new lead paint law that went into effect back in July of 2022. So state legislature has budgeted $170 million to this program. Part of that's going to be enforcement oversight and I guess getting the inspectors on board. But that's a very big commitment by the state, you know, but between the legislature and Governor Murphy, they recognize that, you know, that, as we said, there's about 4,000 kids based on the Department of Health data that, you know, have elevated levels. That's a lot of children, so their learning is going to can likely be affected, and, you know, that's got to be corrected. So I think that's one of the initiatives. This has been going on, I think, since after 2000. It's been tossed around, but it finally got passed in 2021. So the state is committed to this, you know, eradicating the lead-based paint hazards posed in these rental units.
Yeah, we got to protect our children. That's really, I mean, that has to be done regardless. I think from now on, which is, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure, I think the state, when they're doing the inspection, especially for the multiple units, maybe lead paint is one of the items they may look into.
Well, that remains to be determined, but it sounds like what the law is saying is that every municipality must have an inspector, somebody from the town that can conduct the inspections, and the way it works, or the individual landlords can hire their own independent certified lead inspector. You don't have to wait for the town. So I think the towns, I don't know what stage everything is kind of getting
yeah.
implemented right now, but those are the two options. And in terms of the timeline, again, the law went into effect July 22nd, 2022. You have you have 2 years to have the inspection done. Or if your current tenant moves out within that period, you have to have the lead inspection done prior to a new tenant moving in. So it's the earlier of either July 22nd, 2024, or if the current tenant moves out anytime after July of 2022.
New law sounds like you have to do the lead paint inspection every time you turn over a tenant.
Well, no, it's a little bit okay. So it's a little as with any laws, it's a little bit tricky. But no, it's good for their certificate is good for 2 years. Let's say if you have a current tenant that stays beyond the two, if you have a current tenant that stays for 3 years, the certificate is good for an additional year, up to a third year. So as an example, let's say we're in October. If you had a certificate that was issued October 1st, 2022, you have a current tenant in there. Under the law, by October 1st, 2024, you would need to have a reinspection. However, if that current tenant continues to stay in your rental unit for the third year, the certificate is the inspection requirement is extended another year.
Okay. So this way is a little different from the fire inspection, because for the fire inspection, it's a tenant specific. Say, for example, if you have a tenant move in, after 3 months, unfortunately, the tenant got a job transfer to California. Obviously, they have to pay breakage, work out with the landlord. But just say they moved out and you secure a new tenant, before the new tenant come in, you have to do the fire inspection again, because every time you have a turnover, you have to do a fresh fire inspection. But
or a CCO now.
The township. Yeah. But it seems to me this new law only affect the first time now initial implementation. So like you said, if you know the 2 years period, but after the initial time is really just 2 year period, regardless you have the same tenant or you turn over the property 2-3 times. It's just really, you know.
Right. The certificate is good for 2 years, so you can turn over the tenant within that time. And then it's unclear how the municipalities are going to look at it. It might be something on their checklist that everybody's going to have to file their certificate. So when the municipality comes out for the required fire inspection or the required CCO inspection, if applicable, they'll have something on their checklist to check for the date of the last lead clearance certificate. Done. So that's kind of vague, and different towns may implement different procedures. Yeah. It's really not sure. Mm-hmm. But again, the owners, the landlords can take the initiative. You can check with your municipality and see if they have a inspector that's dedicated to do this service. Otherwise, you can contract with any private licensed lead inspector that's licensed by the Department of Community Affairs to do the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about what the inspection will entail. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's definitely going to consist of, at minimum, a visual inspection. The inspector is going to check the interior, the exterior of the unit, look for any signs of deteriorated paint, flaking paint, dust, you know, anything that indicates the paint is in poor condition. And So at minimum, it's going to be a visual inspection, and then it could entail dust wipes, and that's a little bit unclear. I think that's going to depend on what the towns decide, and that could depend upon based on the levels of kids within that within the town that have an elevated level. Certain towns may require, besides, in addition to the visual, you must do dust wipes. Mm-hmm. We're not sure how that's going to actually play out. But at minimum, the inspectors will do a visual inspection to look for any areas. And if they determine that there's a lead hazard present, then they won't issue you the clearance certificate, and you're going to have a you're going to have to contract. The landlord will have to hire a licensed lead remediation contractor to come in, assess the condition, and then determine the appropriate remediation, which could consist of maybe, you know, some scraping and priming the area. It could consist of encapsulation, or it could be possibly covering the area with new wallboard. Mm-hmm. So that can get costly. But again, it's something that the state feels is a necessary yep. mandate to protect the health and welfare of the inhabitants of the mm-hmm. units.
Yep,
based
absolutely.
On this. So again, the certificate is good for 2 years, and there's an additional grace period of 1 year if the current tenant continues to reside in that unit, you know, for the full 3 year period. Mm-hmm. So the remediation again is something that's really, again, the contractors you hire basically. The public may be listening to this, and basically the inspector you hire can't be anybody off the street. You can't do it yourself. You have to hire a licensed lead inspector that has the license, I believe, is issued from the Department of Health. They have to show you the paperwork, and the company should be certified, registered with the Department of Community Affairs. If you have any questions, you have to please check with the state on that. And likewise, the contractors, be careful to make sure the contractor is fully licensed as well.
Yes. That's very important, you know, especially for the rental property. You have to make sure hire all the licensed professional to perform each task within the licensed contractor expertise. Absolutely, that's very important. So right. that will prevent the any issues, protect the tenant, and even for the landlord, right, protect themselves too. Because if anything happened, the insurance and everything would be, could be avoided if they didn't do the right thing.
Right, because yeah. if there is a lead-based hazard, the remediation contractor will have to come in. They may have to enclose the areas before they do any of the remediation work. They'll come in with the PPE, maybe the respirators, put up the typically they use like a polyethylene sheeting to, you know, cover the walls and the affected areas so that way when they're doing their remediation that anything that gets airborne is protected, enclosed within the plasticized area. They'll likely wear their PPE so that they're not inhaling it, and they may even have like negative air machines in place so that would ensure that the air anything that's being in the air is mm-hmm. is filtered, so you don't have so you purify the air as the process is going on.
Yeah, I mean, although this new law only for the rental property, I would highly, highly recommend all the buyers and all the agents to beware. So as an agent, if I represent a buyer, I would definitely recommend a buyer to hire a licensed lead paint specialist inspector to check it out. Because for your own family safety, I think that's a proper thing to do. As the agent, as the buyer, please, you know, you're buying a house. It's a big investment. And, you do a home inspection. This lead paint, if the house built before 1978, should be part of your the inspection process.
Right. And we should go back and basically under the prior regulation with the lead paint disclosure, whenever you buy a house, it's documented on the form, on the lead paint disclosure form that the buyer has to sign off on. When you buy a house, you have a right to do a lead-based paint inspection. I mean, it hasn't been done, but there are times when the buyer will hire a lead-based paint inspector. They'll go in. They may either collect. There's two ways to test for lead paint. You can actually physically collect the paint chip samples, which wouldn't be done if you're buying the house because the seller's not going to appreciate you going in and taking samples from everywhere. Or you can go in with a what they use. It's an XRF machine, which basically, you know, is an X-ray machine that can that based on the technology can tell if there's lead in the paint, which is a non-destructive way of determining if there's lead-based paint. So that's always been in play here with the current regulations. It just hasn't been done a lot of times, and partially that could be because you can visually. A lot of times the home inspectors can visually determine if the paint is in good condition. There's really not a need for that. But if you're buying a house that was built prior to 1978 and the paint is in poor condition, then you have to presume that there that it contains lead-based paint. One other thing with the regulation, if you do have if you're a landlord out there and you have a multi-dwelling unit and you've had it tested thoroughly and adequately based on the testing sampling requirements, and it's determined to not contain lead-based paint, and you have that documentation, then of course you're exempt from this because you could have a building that was built prior to 78 that is lead-based paint-free. It's not like every building has lead paint, but it's presumed otherwise. Unless you have the test documentation to prove it, it's presumed that the that it has lead-based paint.
How they can derive that? Do they have original document,
no.
or can you hire someone? The licensed inspector can confirm that in their best knowledge, this zero.
That's what I was trying to explain. Maybe I didn't explain it well. With lead, with paint for lead, the owner can basically they can hire the lead inspector. You have to hire somebody who's qualified. Yeah. They know the number of samples. It's through sampling. They can either they'll either go and they'll either take an adequate number of paint samples. Will actually take the paint chip, you know, the destructive paint sampling from all different rooms and, you know, to get whatever the criteria is, bring those to the lab and have those analyzed for lead paint content. Or they can go in with an XRF machine, which is the which is a handheld device, and it shoots the radiation through the wall. And then based on the refraction, it can determine if there's lead-based paint. So they have to, but any, so if the if a owner does that and determines there's no lead-based, there's no lead present in the paint or no lead-based paint, then of course then they're free. They don't have to do this sort of this continual lead paint certification because they got lead.
Okay, so the 2 years will be waived if they can.
They would be exempt from it because they don't have lead, and it makes sense, right? If you have a clean bill of health and there's no lead, so you're not going to have. There's no risk then from lead-based paint exposure.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for explaining.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is if the landlord get it tested, they probably don't, if they don't have it, they may not have to do it again.
Right. So this was a kind of a very technical topic, a dry topic, but a very important topic for the health and welfare of all New Jersey residents, both adults and especially children and pregnant women. So just if you're a listener out there, just please be careful if you're unsure, you know, have it tested. All right, we're out of time. And so we'll see everyone next week. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.